John chapter 15 and verses 17 to 21. John chapter 15, verses 17 to 21. The Bible says here, "These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I have said, that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Notice especially verse 20. "Remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you please to help us to focus our hearts and minds upon you and upon your word. Spirit of God, please speak to us. Help us to listen to your voice and seek to hear from you. And I pray that you'd help us tonight and strengthen us by your word. Help us, Lord, to be spiritually hungry. Help us to be dissatisfied with where we're at in our life. Help us to seek growth. Help us not to be apathetic, Lord, but help us to seek to grow and to learn and to serve you better, to follow you more, to walk with you better, Lord. Help us to be better servants of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of the worst emotions that we can possibly feel is rejection. As we go through John 14 and 15 and 16, we are seeing even some feelings of rejection and some of the things that are taking place. Jesus is going through emotions and knowing what it's like to be rejected by people. Knowing the human emotion and feeling of, he'd be betrayed by Judas and that so on. He'd be rejected by the Jews and the Pharisees and so on. In these chapters, it shows Jesus helping also, though, to prepare his disciples before they would go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was reminding them that at times in the Christian life, they would feel rejection. Just like he was feeling rejection, there would be times where they would come to feel rejection. And so he says, verse 20, "Remember these words that I speak unto you. The servant's not greater than his Lord. You know, if they mistreat me, they're going to mistreat you. If they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. If they reject me, there's going to be times where you're going to be rejected in this world." And Jesus says, remember that. If that's how they treat the Lord, they'll treat the Lord's servants that way too. There'll be times where you will be persecuted or you will be mistreated or rejected if you follow Christ. In John 14, he reminds them, "Let not your hearts be troubled." In John chapter 15, he teaches them that "I am the vine and you're the branches." In our text here, Jesus reminds the disciples that their message would not always be readily received. Not everybody's going to jump up and down and go, "Oh, I'm so excited. I want to hear that message. That's awesome." Not everybody's going to do that. Some people are going to reject the message that they would preach, the message that they would share. Think of the significance of Jesus telling them to remember. Jesus telling them to remember. The apostles would later even kind of pass this same message on to the church. In Jude verses 17 to 19, it says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Just in a very similar way to how Jesus tells the apostles, "The servant's not greater than the Lord. If they reject me, they'll reject you. If they mistreat me, they'll mistreat you." And so on. Later, Jude tells people, you know what? If they're going to reject the apostles, you know what? They're probably going to reject you as well. If they're not going to always listen to the apostles and their message, they're not always going to listen to you. But remember that. Remember that and be faithful and so on. If we'll remember his words and keep the Christian life in perspective, we must do a couple of things. Let me share with you some thoughts here tonight. Number one, we need to remember our position as servants. Remember our position as servants. The title of the message, I called it Remembering the Lord's Example. remembering the Lord's example. And point number one is this: remember our position as servants. Again, John 15 and verse number 20. Remember the word that I've said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Most people wish to serve God, but only in an advisory capacity. I'll serve God, but just if I'm advising others, just if I'm in charge, just if I'm telling people what to do. But God calls us to serve. We need to recognize our Lord's example. Turn me to a couple passages, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And listen carefully, follow along. Mark chapter 10, and then we're also going to look over at Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, if you can turn to both those places. Let's first go to Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45 there. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45, the Bible says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." Jesus Christ didn't come to earth, here, come on, minister to me, make me king. He already is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He just came to minister. He came to be a servant. He came to serve. That's the example of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. He humbled Himself. Notice what it says over in Philippians chapter 2. And these are verses that you're pretty familiar with. Philippians 2, 5-7. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant." Amen. Philippians chapter 2. He is the Lord of Lords and He's the King of Kings, but yet He humbled Himself. We need to remember our position as servants. We need to recognize the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. The example of our Savior was, He wasn't proud. He wasn't lifted up. He wasn't, "Oh, minister to me." He was there to minister. He was there to serve. And we need to recognize the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only should we recognize His example, but we're supposed to reflect His example, right? Just as Christ was in this world, we're to be the same way. We're to reflect that example. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm sure you'll all want to turn there. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verses 21 to 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. You got to concentrate. It's late Sunday afternoon, so you have worked so hard, you served the Lord, you were up early, and you did this and that, and you get tired. And I get tired. Sometimes I wish I wasn't in church. My wife says, "You got to go to church." We joke about that sometimes. But we got some good... Yeah, nobody likes me there. What's that? Yeah. What? Yeah. Tell me why I have to go to church. Amen. We must reflect our Lord's example. What does it say? 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 to 23. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an..." What's that word? Example. If you're following along, it'd be easier, unless you've got the whole Bible memorized. "That ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." We need to reflect our Lord's example. We're called to follow in His steps. He left us an example. We're to reflect Christ. The attitude of Christ, the spirit of Christ was, "I'm a servant. I came to serve. I came to minister." And we're to recognize His example. We're to reflect His example in our lives. During Sunday school, the teacher asked the first graders if anybody could describe a Christian. A little boy named Chase, maybe he was Chase Pennell, he quickly raised his hand and stated, "Christians are nice people who never complain, argue, or talk back." He then added this, "My daddy is a good Christian and my mommy isn't." Listen, are we reflecting the Lord's example? Listen, if we know, you know, this is what Christ is and this is what a Christian is supposed to be, are we reflecting His example? The servant's not greater than the Lord. If the Lord came to serve, if the Lord was willing to minister, if the Lord humbled Himself, then shouldn't we humble ourselves? Shouldn't we be willing to serve? Remember the disciples arguing about who would be the greatest and that sort of thing. Who's going to be the greatest? Who would get to sit next to you? Who's going to have a prominent position, that sort of thing, in your kingdom? Turn with me to John chapter 13, if you would. John chapter 13, you got to ask yourself, am I reflecting the Lord's example? Am I reflecting the Lord's example? How am I living? Do I always want everybody around me to serve me? Or do I try to serve others around me? Am I good at serving God in an advisory capacity? You know, I like barking orders. I like telling people what to do. Or do we like just trying to serve others as well, like our Lord did? How do we treat other people? Are we serving others? Are we being kind to others and loving others? John chapter 13, at the Last Supper, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Notice what it says, John 13, and go down to verse number 4. John 13, 4. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus stooped down to do the job of a servant. He came to all those disciples. And you know what? People need to tell him. Are we recognizing his example? Are we reflecting his example? We're no greater than the Lord. And we need to remember our position as servants. We should recognize and reflect our Lord's example. We must remember our position as servants. Secondly, we need to remember the potential for suffering. John chapter 15, remember the potential for suffering. Number one was remember our position as servants. If we're going to have the right attitude in the Christian life, we're going to need to remember our position of service. Number two, we're going to have to remember the potential for suffering. John 15 and verse number 18. Notice it with me. John 15, verses 18 to 21. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Over in John chapter 16, John 16 verses 1 to 3, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. That ye should not be offended. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father, nor me. You know what sometimes people don't do? They don't treat you nice. Or they won't be kind to you. Why? Because they don't know your Father. They don't know God. They don't know the loving God that you're supposed to know. Or even if they do know Him, maybe they've not been walking with Him like they should, and they'll do things they shouldn't do. Listen, suffering's going to come. Because you're of your child. So you're of your Father, the God of heaven. They're of their father, the God of this world. Their father, Satan. There's going to be times where they'll offend you. There's going to be times where people will mistreat you. There's going to be potential for suffering. Even today, when we live in a time where there's cries for tolerance and tolerance, you've got to be tolerant, we see an intolerance of Christian values that is becoming more and more prevalent. People really don't want people to, especially in public places, to pray in the name of Jesus. Sometimes pastors get asked to pray in government-type assemblies or that sort of thing. You can pray, but sometimes they get kind of told, make sure you don't mention, make sure you don't mention Jesus. You can pray, but it's got to be a pretty generic prayer. Don't mention Jesus. We're not allowed to mention Jesus. Remember, there's going to be potential for suffering in the world. Why? Because the world doesn't know Jesus. The world doesn't love Jesus. The world doesn't know your Heavenly Father. And if you're going to follow Christ and be His disciple, sometimes on that road and sometimes in that journey and sometimes as His disciple, there's going to be some suffering that will come. Some persecution that will come. It'll not always be easy street. The servant is no greater than the Lord. So if our Lord can face suffering, if our Lord can face persecution, then there may come a day, as you're following Jesus, that you'll face some persecution. And people will be mistreating you. And people will be unkind to you. But don't be offended. Don't be offended.
There's some potential for suffering. There's potential for suffering. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, we should expect suffering can come. Notice what the Bible says over in Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5. You know what? Jesus is our example in suffering. Jesus is the believer's example in suffering. Notice what it says in Matthew 5, 11 to 12. Matthew 5, 11 to 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed are ye. And they think, oh, this is a blessing. This is a blessing. I get to suffer like Jesus. Well, that's kind of what the Bible says. And it may be hard to accept that I should have that attitude and that I should accept it as a blessing and be happy anyways and trust that, hey, I'm getting to walk in the steps of my Savior. But He says, blessed are you. Blessed are you when men shall revile you. It says in verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Hey, don't forget about that. We tend not think about that. We just don't like the persecution. We're not going to like being mistreated. We're not going to like things not being convenient and easy for us now. But if you'll put up with some things now, He says, great is your reward in heaven. So if you live in a time where there's going to come great persecution in your life, and as you stand for Christ and you live for Christ as a teenager or a young adult or an old adult, and you live right and you follow Jesus and you walk in His steps, great is your reward in heaven. If there's suffering that comes or persecution that comes or offenses that come, just keep following the example of Jesus. It says, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. They persecuted the prophets and they persecuted Jesus and they offended the apostles. And they listen, we should expect that there will be times where persecution will come or some suffering will come. John 15:21 says, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Again, there's going to be times where people are mean to you, and you don't understand, it's not going to be because they particularly dislike you as much as they just hate Jesus. Because they hate Jesus, they're going to be unkind to you. And there's going to be times if you're going to live like a Christian, Eric, and stand like a Christian and do right, there are going to be people that hate you and persecute you. Why? Because you are on Jesus' side. I just saw a news article last night I think it was in Canada. I'm pretty sure it's out west somewhere, maybe in the States. And I know it's happened before, but this type of thing of, you know, somebody going into a baker and wanting them to make a cake for a wedding and da-da-da-da-da. And sometimes I think they target them on purpose because they want to make a big deal about it. But somebody wanted to make a cake. It's happening again. And, you know, the baker asked, well, what's the name of the bride and groom? And the person said, well, there's not a groom. And the person was a Christian. They said, well, we, you know, our company doesn't make cakes for that sort of a wedding. And of course, so they've made a big deal about it, and they you know, they made a court case out of it and sued those people and getting $120,000 out of them and basically running that little family business out of business. Why? Because the world hates Christ. The world hates Christ. In the day and age in which we live, if you're just going to do what is right and live according to the Bible and follow in Jesus' steps, hey, understand, some suffering may come. There's going to be potential for suffering. There could be some persecution that comes. There'll be people that will offend you. There are people that not like maybe the stand that you take or some things that you believe or the path that you choose to walk down and follow. But if you're walking in the steps of Jesus, don't worry about what anybody else thinks or says or does. Great will be your reward in heaven if you keep walking that path. Hey, there'll be some potential for suffering as you're following Jesus, but you follow Jesus and you do what's right and don't worry about what anybody else says. Great will be your reward if you'll follow Jesus.
Godly believers, we will experience suffering. Our example is Christ. Our example is Christ. Notice the words that Jesus wanted them to remember. All these things. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. I don't know what all these things are. But all these things, and there's some things described in those verses. But all these things, there'll be times where there'll be offenses that'll come. There'll be suffering that'll come. There'll be persecution that'll come. There may be times of being rejected that'll come. And you'll ask, well, I'm being rejected. Well, don't worry. You're not being rejected by God. You may be rejected by the world. You may be rejected by some that don't love God or don't love Jesus. But hey, you won't be rejected by God. You'll be rewarded by God. And so don't worry about it. Jesus experienced being rejected and crucified and suffering. And the disciples themselves would soon see great persecution, even to the point of death. Will they, whatever, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. What they were about to do to Jesus, in other words. But all these things that you're going to see happen to me, all this rejection that you're going to see in me, all the betrayal that you're going to see in me, and all the, you know, what's going to happen in the crucifixion, all this, you may suffer some of those things, and they would suffer. Many of them, they would die as martyrs, the apostles. Why will they do this? Why will they do this? Why will they not only kill Christ, but also persecute His followers? The answer comes in the last phrase of the verse where it says, because they know not Him that sent me. Because they know not Him that sent me. Jesus Christ, He is our example in that suffering. Jesus is the believer's example in suffering. Godly, faithful believers also will experience suffering. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy 3, godly, faithful believers. Again, if we're going to follow in the steps of Christ, there'll be suffering that will come. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verses 11 and 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Paul here writes to Timothy and tells him that suffering and persecutions will come. He'll experience it. Just like Paul experienced it as he followed Christ. And it says there, 2 Timothy 3, 11 and 12. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, not some, not maybe, but all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The key word there is godly. Godly will suffer persecution. Godly Christians will be rejected by those who don't know God. Ungodly Christians, they'll just be able to blend in with the world. Ungodly Christians will just kind of try to fit in, try to blend in. But godly Christians are going to stand out in the world in which we live. And you may have some persecution. There'll be potential for suffering. But great will be your reward in heaven. So be faithful. What kind of perspective do we need to have? What kind of attitude do we need to have? What do we need to remember? Well, we do need to remember the words of Jesus. Remember the words of Jesus Christ to His followers. Remember our position as servants. The servant's no greater than the Lord. If the Lord could come and humble Himself and make Himself a servant, then can we humble ourselves and make ourselves a servant? Can you serve your family? Can you serve other Christians? Can you serve your neighbors? Can you serve a co-worker? Can you serve them? They need to see Jesus in our lives. We need to recognize our Lord's example and reflect our Lord's example. We're no greater than the Lord. And just as He could make Himself a servant, shouldn't we make ourselves a servant? You say, but I'm in the position where I should be served. You know, I'm in charge of some people in the workplace, or I'm the parent, or I'm the whatever, I'm the man, or I'm the, you know, whatever. Okay, well, why don't you just make yourself a servant? If you be the man and you be the parent, and you're the greatest, and you're the one that has the higher position authority-wise, you know what? You're the greatest, so why not make yourself the servant? Just like our Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest, but He humbled Himself and made Himself a servant. Can you make yourself a servant? Could you serve your brothers and sisters, serve your parents, serve your children, serve your neighbors, serve your co-workers, serve other Christians, serve your friends? Why don't you make yourself the servant? Remember our position as servants and recognize and reflect our Lord's example. Secondly, remember the potential for suffering. Our Savior suffered for us. And if we will live godly and faithful, then we should expect that persecution will come also. Let me give you a third thought quickly here tonight. Number three, remember the Lord's words or the Lord's promise to soul winners. Remember the Lord's word, the Lord's promise to soul winners. We want to remember the Lord's promise here in this chapter to soul winners. We want to remember our position as servants, definitely. Remember our potential for suffering, yes. But remember something else as disciples and followers of Christ. I want you to remember that we have a promise as soul winners, and we're to be soul winners as we follow Christ. Look at a few things back in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Maybe five simple thoughts under this. John 15, first thought is this. With Him we can bear fruit, without Him we can do nothing. With Him we can bear fruit, without Him we can do nothing. With Him we can bear fruit, without Him we can do nothing. John chapter 15 and verse number 5. John 15, 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me He can do nothing. With Him we can bear fruit. Without Him we can do nothing. You know, these are promises. These are promises in this chapter. We're to be soul winners. We're to be fruit bearers. As disciples of Christ, we're to bring forth fruit for the glory of God. And as we walk in His steps and follow His example, His life was, He came to seek and to save the lost. And we're to care for the lost. We're to be concerned for the lost. We're to be witnesses. We're to be soul winners. We're to bear fruit. Remember that with Him we can bear fruit and without Him we can do nothing. Secondly, Christ wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be fruitful. Don't ever let Satan make you think, oh, it's impossible to bear fruit and you can't bear fruit and it's hard to bear fruit. God wants us to bear fruit. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. God wants us to be fruitful. And is it always easy in the day and age in which we live to see souls come to Christ and see people get saved? No, it seems like it's harder and harder. It seems like there's more and more people that reject the gospel and don't want Jesus Christ. But listen, if you sow enough seed, plant enough seed, there is always going to be fruit. There is always going to be. It may be harder though. Well, I tried. I tried to give a gospel tract to somebody one time and I saw them throw it down, throw it in the garbage. Well, it may not be that easy. You may have to give out 100 tracts. You may have to give out 500 tracts. Well, I tried to talk to somebody one time. I tried to talk to somebody at school. Or I tried to talk to somebody at work, and they didn't want to listen to me. Well, maybe try again. Maybe pray for them. Maybe try another person. You know what? We just have to. We know it's true when we practice it. When we work and we get out in the harvest field and you plant and you plow and you sow seed and you work, there's more fruit. There's more fruit. When we've got more church members going out and laboring or going out on a Thursday night or going out on a Saturday or going out and witnessing and trying to share the gospel and trying to knock on doors and trying to meet people, you know what? The more we go out, the more fruit we see. When people don't go out very much, oh, it's hard to see much fruit. But the more people that go out, it's always proven itself. There's a lot more fruit than when people aren't going out. Hey, listen, God does want us to be fruitful, but we got to work in the field and we got to labor with God and do it with Him and with His power. We've got to go in. God wants us to be fruitful. That's a promise to us as we're soul winners and witnesses and sow the seed. We can bear fruit. A third thought in here. There is joy in fruit bearing. That's a promise to us as soul winners and witnesses. There is joy in fruit bearing. Verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Zippity doo dah day. You know, if you've ever had that privilege to lead somebody to Christ, you know it's one of the most joyous, wonderful things in all the world. I don't know the whole story really about Jasmine
McGeary making sure of her salvation. But let me tell you something. Emily McGeary and her mom came to church pretty excited today. And a big smile on her face. Why? Because Jasmine got a little Jasmine McGeary and got her salvation settled yesterday. And even for a mom to help, you know, her child, make sure she's saved and come to Christ, it makes her joyful. The night this summer, right, Justin, if you were with me when we went this to Miss Eva, the night she got saved, and that brings joy. You know, the night she got saved, and then there was fireworks going on afterwards, sometime around Canada Day or something. Hey, that was exciting. We go out in the car, and we're rejoicing, and we're excited. And yeah, why? Because there's a lot of joy in fruit bearing. There's joy. God promises joy. With Him, we can bear fruit. Without Him, we can do nothing. Christ wants us to be fruitful. There's joy in fruit-bearing. Number four, Christ has chosen all of us to be soul winners. He has ordained us, called us to bear fruit. Verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Listen, we don't, you know, we choose to trust Christ as our Savior, and He chooses us to be soul winners. He wants us to be soul winners. He wants us to bear fruit. He's ordained us. He's planned for us. He wants us to bear fruit. There is fruit ordained that you can bear. There are good works that you can do. There are people that you can lead to Christ that nobody else can lead to Christ. Christ has chosen us and wants to use us. That's a promise to you. And then a fifth thought here. The Holy Spirit goes with us as we witness for Christ. The Holy Spirit goes with us as we witness for Christ. Down at the end of the chapter, even here in John 15, I think we see another reminder of how God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, goes with us. Notice what it says in verse 26, John 15, 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God, He goes with us. The fruit-bearing chapter, and we're to bear fruit. God gives us promises as soul winners. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to walk as disciples of Jesus. We're going to follow in His steps. The Lord says, here, there's some things I want you to remember. There's some things I want you to remember. To His apostles, listen, to us as His disciples, to His followers, here's some things I want you to remember. Here's some things I want you to remember as my disciples, as my followers. Remember your position as a servant. Remember the potential for suffering. And also, hey, remember these promises I give to you as soul winners, as fruit bearers. We must make a commitment today that we will live as His servants. Follow Jesus' example of serving. Rather than having an attitude, well, I want people to serve me. I think people should treat me a certain way. They may not always. It's nice when people kind of treat you nice, but what if they don't? Can you make yourself the servant? Will you make yourself a servant and follow the example of Jesus? Secondly, we should make that commitment to be servants, follow His example of serving. But secondly, faithfully follow Jesus even in the midst of adversity or persecution or suffering. There is great potential for suffering. And we're going to have to determine that, you know what? I'm going to faithfully follow Jesus no matter what. If suffering comes, I'm following Jesus. If persecution comes, I'm following Jesus. If hard times come, I'm following Jesus all the way. Will you follow Him? Will you follow Jesus even if it means some suffering? Or do you just want, maybe see if there's an easy road? Remember that Patch the Pirate we just got? The Arctic Adventure one? Some people want the easy way, don't they? But it won't always be easy. Make a commitment that we'll be His servants. Faithfully follow Jesus in the midst of adversity and suffering. And share the gospel message. Let's be faithful witnesses for Jesus Christ. There are some great promises to us in that chapter. Some things we can remember as we go and witness and share the gospel. Be committed to live as a servant of Christ. Follow Jesus' example in serving. Faithfully follow Jesus in the midst of adversity or suffering. And share the gospel message. Be a faithful witness for Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father.